one of these days.
This question is, what is your advice for someone who is starting out as a guitarist, and how do you suggest they play, and what is the most crucial aspect of playing or developing? Well, for me, what I notice is just the most important thing is that a person really loves music, you know. There's lots of ways of going about playing guitar, you know. A person can learn, I strongly recommend learning songs from records, and for me that's how I began, was by learning as much music as I could off of records, and eventually developing a sort of a vocabulary based on the words that I had learned, the musical words that I had learned through learning things on my guitar off of records. It was slow getting into it, but I suppose I started out with things that were more simple, like punk rock and new wave, and I eventually, was moving on to the guitarists of the 60s and progressive rock and art rock and things like that. And to the point now where pretty much anything that I want to know how to play, I can learn how to play it, and it's what keeps me going still. It's big source of where ideas come from for me. I also think that while a person can definitely go their whole lives without learning theory and things like that, I think that it can be a mind opener, and I think it only closes somebody's mind if they're that type of person. I think if you use theoretical information the same way that jazz musicians like Charles Mingus or John Coltrane or people like that use it, a lot of the time you learn rules, so you break them with finesse. You know, I'd rather break rules, you know, because I have some sort of an interesting way of breaking the rules, rather than break them because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, for me, I like to see music in terms of color, and to me, understanding theory is just giving names to those colors. And once you've got a grasp on it, you can see all the different ways that you can bend those rules. And I think it's a big help, and I'm glad that I learned those things when I was a teenager. But it's important to never get caught up in the physical aspects of being a guitarist, because while it's important to get your physical technique together, it's important to understand that this has nothing to do with music, and that music is only the sound of it, and music is not what it looks like when you play it on the guitar. And this is something that I couldn't get through my head when I was a teenager. It wasn't until I was about 20 that I had the, you know, realization completely, which, you know, people had said to me for years, but it had never really clicked in my head until I remember one day listening to Television's album Marquee Moon and just realizing that it was the sound of what was coming out that mattered, and that the actual physical things that were taking place on the neck of the guitar had no importance whatsoever. And especially thinking about people like Keith Richards and how effective their playing is and how simple it is, this all clicked and has forever stayed firm in my brain that it's the colors you create with your instrument that's important, and not physically what you're doing. Who is your all-time biggest musical influence? I don't know, it's really hard to say. I mean, how much Jimi Hendrix meant to me when I was a little kid, I don't know if anybody's ever meant more to me than that, you know, so I I'd probably pick him, even though I think I don't see my playing now as being very influenced by him. Although I suppose it is. You know, I drew so much from him between the ages of 12 to 22 that I tried to sort of come up with a new direction for myself when I started playing guitar again when I was 28 when I rejoined the band. And so I felt like, especially because my fingers weren't very strong at that point, I felt like, okay, if I try to sound like Jimi Hendrix now, I'm just going to sound ridiculous because I had lost all the strength that you need in your fingers to sound like that. So I chose to focus on guitar players that were, that had less technical ability than that and less strength in their fingers, like Matthew Ashman and Bernard Sumner and Robert Smith and The Cure and these people's guitar playing. I chose to develop a style more based out of what these people were doing, and it's been really interesting to me since then. I've developed all kinds of directions from that point, and but you know, in a lot of ways, in my head, Jimi Hendrix still seems like the sort of purest form of a human being one with their music. And I think when I realized this when I was 12, it really hit me very strongly. Before that, I'd had a friend in school who liked Jimi Hendrix a lot, and I would argue with him saying that the Sex Pistols were much more important to musical history than Jimi Hendrix. This is when I'm in like fourth grade or something. And he would play me Jimi Hendrix at lunchtime, and I would play him the Sex Pistols and the Circle Jerks and things like this. But once I started playing guitar, I bought a Jimi Hendrix record, and I was just, I just can't remember ever being so excited about music as I was at that point. This question is, do you ever watch movies, read, or just see something and get inspired to write a song based on it? I think usually a lot of the time when I read something, it finds its way into my music. I read a book about Aleister Crowley recently, and that definitely found its way into a couple of my songs. And reading about him in the past has also affected my songs. I'm falling through them here. Yeah, all that stuff in Time Goes Back, I'm flown through a mirror and almost disappearing. That's from when Aleister Crowley would talk about looking in the mirror and sort of mentally forcing himself to disappear while he was looking in the mirror. He would actually see his physical body fade and fade and fade until it was just a faint little flickering hint of a body. So a lot of the time, something I'll read will just find its way into a line of one of my songs, or I'll just be writing a song and a certain something that I read will pop into my head, or an image that came to me from a movie or whatever will come into my head, and I'll write about it. That's the Aleister Crowley one. Seems like something that's come up from time to time. I know he's found his way into others of my songs as well. This is in response to the question: are there any painters? What painters are inspiring to you besides? Besides Marcel Duchamp, and Bob, well, God, that's a fucking question. This question is there anywhere I can see more of your paintings? Most of my paintings burned during the fire at my house in 1994, I guess. And that was most of them. That was most of the good ones. there was a stack of paintings that a girl who was a friend of mine named Andrea, she took them and she was going to sell a couple to a friend of mine, and she did sell a couple, and then she never gave me back the rest. And so hopefully she still has them. I'm always thinking maybe one day I'll run into her and we'll have those, but really God knows what she did with them. Because I don't speak to her anymore. Who are some of your favorite artists besides Duchamp, Basquiat, and Da Vinci? I suppose, you know, I like all the artists of the Surrealists and the Dadaists. Max Ernst and I like the Cubist painters a lot, like Braque and Picasso's early things, and I love Vincent van Gogh's things a lot. I love Cy Twombly, and I love Francis Picabia's stuff that he did in the 19-teens, the mechanical paintings and drawings, those things, along with Marcel Duchamp's drawings, are probably my favorite works of art by anybody ever, and the ones definitely that I relate to the most. Also, Don Van Vliet, also known as Captain Beefheart's paintings, have always spoken to me a great deal. I love those very much. This question is, do you have to be depressed to write a sad song? Do you have to be in love to write a love song? No, I find that I get in touch with those kind of emotions, very much, just by being in a certain kind of state of mind. Like a song that I wrote called Dying Song, which is one of the sadder songs that I've ever written, was written just because I had just seen a Björk concert when she was playing here with a full orchestra, and the guys from Matmos and a person playing harp, and it was just one of the most beautiful things I ever heard. And I just came home and I sat down and just in that inspired state of mind that I was in, I just tried to write something that seemed on a par with that in terms of beauty. I was just trying to write something that was beautiful, and to me, sad songs are always the most beautiful songs. So you know, it's and also sometimes I would say when I write, I'm almost writing like an actor or something. It usually turns out that what I'm writing about is something that I felt at a certain point in my life. I suppose at the times in my life that I've been very sad, it was hard for me to, I wasn't able to write music, but now I write music directly from the state of mind that I was in at the period of life when I was sad, but I'm writing it now from the state of mind of being somebody who's in general very happy. I've definitely written a lot of love songs while I've been in love with people, but I don't like to pretend. So it seems like if I do write something like that and I'm not currently in love with somebody, it's probably the same thing where I'm at least writing in terms of writing from some kind of memory. I definitely think it's important for writing songs to have experience in life. I don't believe that somebody who's never truly been sad could write a truly sad song. And I don't believe that somebody who's never been in love would be able to write a beautiful love song. To me, you have to really have felt things to be able to write about them succinctly. Question is, during your time away from the Chili Peppers, did you ever think you would get back together with them and that things would be as successful as they are now? If not, how does it feel? Well, it crossed my mind that things were going to happen, but I sort of pretended not to notice, but I suppose most things that have happened to me in my life at some point or another, I was warned that they were going to happen. So nothing is ever surprising to me, but at the same time as, you know, at the same time things are, but the thing is, when I would think about it logically, where Anthony and Flea and Chad were at during the period of time that I wasn't in the band, and where I was at, it wouldn't have made logical sense to me that we would ever be on the same page, because their direction in their life seemed so completely on another planet to me. I mean, they seemed very sort of like, just going in a meaningless direction and being kind of out of touch. And same thing with Dave Navarro. They just seemed on another planet to me. And I think in my own way, I was also out of touch, but in a different way. I was just not a clear version of myself at that period of time. And I think I probably was on a sort of a I definitely overestimated my own importance in terms of the universe during the period of time that I was on drugs, but that's something that cocaine just does to you, and I was on a lot of cocaine all the time. But I think once I stopped taking drugs, and once they were not playing with Dave Navarro anymore, we seemed to be on the same page of our lives at the same time, even though we had both been through all this other, you know, we had both led completely separate lives for a few years. Somehow we seemed to be on the same page, and that was the only point where my conscious mind would acknowledge, okay, it seems like I'm probably going to be in the Chili Peppers here. And as far as success, I've never made any demands upon fate in terms of that. I just take things as they come. This question is, do you have an utmost favorite guitar track that you love to play more than any other? I guess you mean of my own music. And I thought that instrumental number one that was a B-side on the Scar Tissue single, I think that that's really good guitar playing of mine, but it's not something that we've ever played again. You know, I guess on guitar, I guess what I get the most enjoyment out of doing from time to time, you know, over and over again, is just to improvise. It's playing songs is fun for a while when you can reinterpret them different ways, but sometimes when you play the same songs over and over for years and years, it starts to become confusing as far as you feel. You get to a point where you feel like the interesting things you can do to it, you've already kind of done them all. But even then, it sometimes feels that way at the end of a tour, but then a year later you go on tour again and you have a completely new way of approaching it. So that's the way that is. Are there any plans for you to come to England to perform any of your solo stuff in the near future? Not in the near future, but I would definitely love to. Once I have some time to, I guess after the cycle of the next Chili Peppers album and tour. I would imagine after that I'll do a proper tour in England. But I'll definitely come to England at that time if that's what I do, which I think it is. Do you think people downloading music for free or not buying it is as big of a problem as people say? I don't know. I don't know much about the internet, and I really don't have any sort of a definitive opinion on these things. I hear different people with opposite opinions speaking, and a lot of the time they both make sense to me. You know, I hear some people saying that they love record stores a lot, and that if the internet gets too big, then record stores are just going to die out, and that's a pretty horrifying thought to me. But at the same time, I have other friends who say, you know, that whatever way things go, that's the way things go, and people just have to get used to it, and that people will always want to support the bands that they really like, and that the people who are successful, who this supposedly hurts, they already have enough money, you know, and it's kind of silly to be going around defending millionaires because they have only $4 million dollars now instead of $8 million or whatever. You know, to me, that's also a good point, is that who are we really protecting here? You know, people who like independent small bands will always buy albums by those people because it's the people who like that kind of music feel strongly about it. And those are really the bands that need to be supported, you know, you know, these huge bands like Metallica, you know, so what if they sell, you know, 8 million records instead of 13 million records or whatever? It's not the end of the world, you know. So I actually don't really have my own opinion on these things, but these are things that I've heard people say that did make sense to me, and I've heard a lot of people say things that make no sense to me. Do you plan to play some new stuff with the Peppers on the coming European tour? I would imagine we're only going to do a couple of weeks of rehearsal, so we'll probably have come up with ideas at that point, but the concept of playing a full song, it is possible, but it seems unlikely to me. But I really don't know until we're in there at rehearsal. This question is, can you tell us meanings or inspiration behind some of your new songs?